This is a HeadGum Podcast.
Okay, it's time to commit. 2024 is the year for prioritizing yourself. Begin your new smile journey with Byte, and you could start seeing results in just 2 to 3 weeks. Just order your at-home impression kit today for only $14.95 at Byte.com. Byte Clear Aligners are doctor-directed and delivered to your door. Treatment costs thousands less than braces. Plus, they offer financing options, accept eligible insurance, and you can pay with your HSA, FSA. Get 80% off your impression kit when you use code WONDERY at Byte.com. That's BYTE.com. Start your confidence journey today with Byte.
Hello and welcome to The Complete Guide to Everything, a podcast about everything. I'm one of your hosts, Tom.
And I'm Tim.
Tim, how are you doing this week?
Tim.
Oh, no. The facade is shown through. The simulation is collapsing.
Did I just call you Tim?
You did.
It's because I'm so excited, Tom.
Look, Tom, we've been doing a ton of these. We've been doing these for a long time. Sooner or later, you're bound to screw up and forget your own name.
I told you, Tom. We gotta stop doing this thing. Number one, that just happened, right? Yeah. I called you Tim. I got us confused.
We're through the looking glass.
The other thing is, I was telling you off mic, I was at a baby's birthday party the other day. We were both invited to.
Yeah.
I was there with my wife.
Mm-hmm.
Several of our friends were there. It was great. You didn't go.
Yeah.
And people kept coming up to me being like, hey, what gives? Where's Tom?
Yeah.
And I like, none of our friends listen to this thing. Like, why? Like, it's not like in other ways, like, it's not like Tim and Tom, the inseparable boys in life. Like, we see each other once a week, maybe twice a week to do this.
Yeah.
And then, like, hey, you know, maybe grab beers another night. But, like,
and most of the time when we're hanging out outside the show, it's not just the two of us hanging out.
No.
Like, we're hanging out with other people.
Yeah, because why would the two of us hang out outside of this? This is without capturing it.
Yeah, I mean,
it's
if
gold.
We're gonna do it, we might as well
goddamn
record
meal
it.
Ticket. Yeah.
Can't monetize conversations between the two of us. You know, that aren't recorded.
Exactly. You can't put ads on just one of us ranting at a bar.
No. So what's the use of doing it?
Exactly. Tom. I am on a high.
Yeah.
From when we
a
went
drug
to,
high?
I guess this will disprove our point. we went to a Broadway show together last week.
Yeah, but outside of going to Broadway shows together occasionally, we never hang out
we
outside
the
show.
We recorded the podcast. We go to a bar, or sometimes we get nachos together, and sometimes we just go to a Broadway show once in a while with each other.
Sorry, we live in New York.
Yeah.
It's what New Yorkers do. And if you don't like it, don't move here.
Yeah, we don't need you.
Yeah.
This city never sleeps. I haven't gotten sleep in decades, Tom.
Yeah, just from wired. Just drinking coffee.
Yeah.
Although, when we went to see the Broadway musical, it was not just the two of us. It was also our how would you phrase her now?
Friend.
Friend slash former engineer, sometimes current.
Yeah, but I don't refer to you as my friend slash
no, but I'm
former
just saying how
high
she's,
school classmate.
I'm just saying how she's related to the show, Marika.
Yeah.
Yeah. We're recording at my apartment as of a couple of months ago, not because of anything.
She quit.
No, she didn't quit.
We went to see Broadway.
Yeah,
with
we went
Marika.
To Broadway.
Marika
yeah.
likes Broadway a lot.
Marika,
she's our friend.
Yeah.
And she was like, hey, you're going to like this ridiculous thing. And by like, she means
not like,
but you'll get an episode out of it.
Yeah. So the three of us went, and Marika, because she's a big Broadway head. Did all the heavy lifting on finding us tickets so we didn't spend like $500 going to this.
She knew how to get cheap tickets, but I will argue, not cheap enough.
Nope. Still more expensive than like, I don't know, going to like a matinee of a second run movie or something. Something
so
more.
Like more than like $4?
Yeah.
Can you still do that? Are there still places in America where you can be like, Sunday afternoon, I'm going to go see Mission Impossible
4.
Four.
One from
Ghost
a few years ago.
It's going to cost me like $3.50, and I'm going to get some old popcorn, too, while I'm at it.
I don't think there are any second-run theaters anymore because of the switch to digital. Because it used to be like they were second-run. It was literally like, you know, that film reel went on its first run, and now, like, it's all beat up. And, it, you know, we could just throw it in the trash.
Got spit all over it.
It's got scratches and hairs and stuff.
The projectionist sneezed on it.
Yeah, true. Yeah. But, or we can...
It's all dusty up there, right?
Yeah. They can just... If somebody sneezes on the film, they can just wipe that off.
Yeah, but it leaves a residue.
Not if you get to it in time.
What do you... It's phlegm, Tom.
And it would only be like a few frames that would have, snot on them.
Yeah, but when you try to wipe it off, it'll get all over it. I'm making a hand motion that's
yeah,
showing
how it will... you're unspooling the film as you're wiping it and just wiping the snot further and further down the reel.
Yeah, because that's how you...
You need an absorbent towel when you're wiping off the film.
You think they have a bunch of absorbent towels hanging around
in
the projectionist booth?
No, of course not. That's how they wind up in the second run theater.
Exactly.
But yeah, they would just sell the film reel that otherwise they would just dispose of. But nowadays with digital, I read this fascinating thing about like how the encryption works on movies nowadays. Because I always thought, I was like, oh, once those things go digital, like within a day of a movie in the theater, it's going to be like, oh, here's a pristine 4K copy.
Like on the internet?
Yeah.
Yeah, isn't that the case?
No, like they're still doing it the old fashioned way, at least at first, like, you know, sneaking a handy cam. Probably nowadays a cellular telephone will do it, but sneaking that in and recording. But
you can't capture 4DX on a phone, my friend.
It's true. But there were like a bunch of, the long and the short of it is when a digital movie starts up, when you're going to see it, like it pings a freaking satellite and is like, hey, we're going to show a movie. Is that all right? And they're like, all right. But like, we're keeping track of it. We're going to charge you for this.
Theaters
all the time used to squeeze in extra showings,
right,
and not tell Johnny Hollywood about it, and
yeah,
they would
not
just
tell Ike Perlmutter about it.
Yeah, and they would just pocket the extra money,
right? Big fan of that guy, Tom?
No, I don't like
Ike
that
Perlmutter.
No, he stinks. He's a real jerk. I don't like anybody named Ike. Get a real name.
What about DDE?
Oh, I like Ike. But all that said, I think a couple of weeks ago I talked about, did I talk about it on the podcast or just you? No, I did it on the podcast because I wanted to razz you about astronauts. I went and saw the first American.
The first man.
See, in my mind, you know.
Well, the first American was Ben Franklin. Everybody knows that.
But when I went and saw that, it was a matinee. It was $5.
Wow.
No fee on top of that or anything.
Where were you, in Mayberry?
No, I was in Las Vegas.
Oh.
I think they were, I don't know why it was so cheap, because I was like, oh, like movies are $5? I put $5 in a slot machine and it instantly disappeared.
I had just gone and seen
all these movies for $5.
Yeah. First time I went to Atlantic City, I was, you know, a poor like 23-year-old or whatever.
Yeah.
I didn't realize what I was doing because like I put money on a card because you do that like you
yeah,
load up
oh, yeah,
a,
yeah.
And I put the card in. I didn't realize I was at like a $20 a pull slot machine.
Yikes!
And I spent like $60 in I had budgeted like.
Oh come on! You got to read.
I don't know. At what point before then had I been notified about a $20 slot machine.
Yeah, but you know what? I guarantee that was like, you got big eyes for the fanciest slot machine in the
place. It was the Wheel of Fortune.
Yeah, that's what it was.
Yeah.
You got to realize, like, if there's a slot machine that's, like, all by itself and it's gigantic and blinking lights, like, that's a high roller machine. You got to go to the old ones with, like, cigarette stains in them and
stuff. Yeah, I don't want cigarette stains.
The penny slots.
Penny slots. People with their oxygen tanks. King Kong the Musical.
Yeah. Broadway.
At the Broadway Theater.
Yeah. Which was confusing when I was trying to find directions there. Like, you know, put that into my phone right before I left.
Goddamn Abbott and Costello. You were Bud Abbott. You were like, no, the Broadway Theater. And they were like, which one? Which Broadway Theater are you talking about?
Come to the Broadway theater. That's where it is. I know which Broadway theater. No, actually, I thought it was more like a trap or something. Like, oh yeah, King Kong. Well, it's at the Broadway theater, of course. Where else would it be?
Like
too generic.
Yeah. Do you think? What did you think? It was some sort of sting operation?
Yeah, it was some kind of YouTube prank or something.
To round up morons who wanted to see this King Kong musical.
Yeah. Although, in fairness...
Strengthen the gene pool, anybody that wants to, just take them out.
I mean...
Just make New York City a smarter place.
The King Kong musical was filled with either like... You know what? I was going to say it was like either impossibly old people who were just like, I remember when King Kong came out, but I didn't even see that. I think those people are dead by now. I think it's been too long.
Well, the movie came out in 1933.
Yeah.
So like there could be a 100-year-old person that was like, I was 15 when this came
right.
out. But other than that, like, and like, were teenagers too cool for like King Kong in 1933? This was before, like, teenagers weren't a thing till like the 50s where like people took them seriously, right? It was still shut your mouth, child, or like go work in this factory.
Yeah, I mean the idea of adolescence.
The factory will probably catch on fire.
The idea of adolescence didn't come up until after the 30s, like you know, the science of basically being like, "Oh yeah, like the human brain goes through this transition between childhood and adulthood where it's angry and horny all the time."
I think Britney Spears said it best. Not a girl, not yet a woman.
Yeah, that's, yeah. What paper was that in that she wrote that?
Some scientific journal. I didn't read the whole thing, but I read the abstract.
Okay. So, yeah, I don't know. Who the hell was going to see movies back then? Just rich people?
I don't know, maybe everybody.
Yeah, but you say everybody, but I also think like in the 30s they were
white people.
Well, yeah, but I also think that like they were probably like, movies are wasted on children. Like,
yeah,
we're
exactly.
not going to buy a
this
ticket.
This big ape movie is wasted on children.
Yeah.
This is sophisticated fare. For me and my flapper wife, we're all the ladies.
No,
flappers,
nobody would
then.
Marry a flapper.
I don't
Tim.
Know
that would
I don't
be
how that works.
Uncouth. Yeah. So the theater, maybe there were some 100-year-old men there, looking like I wanted to see this in the theater, but then the war happened.
I mean, the war happened like a decade
yeah.
later. You know.
But then,
I mean, America's entrance into the war
right.
happened.
But yeah, they started up the boot camps pretty early.
So this was pretty faithful, from what I understand, at least story, like general story beats to the 1933 King Kong movie.
Yeah,
and we covered both Dracula and Frankenstein on this show.
Mm-hmm.
Back in Halloween month.
Yeah.
October shows.
When you say we covered them, it sounds like we're reporters.
Yeah.
Which I like. That's
yeah.
accurate.
You're welcome, Tom. Elevating our status a little bit. This is different. Like, King Kong was just like, movie men were just like, what can we put in the pictures?
What will wow them?
It's not a pre-existing IP for them. They're
no.
just like... At the time, this was an original creation. This guy was just kind of like, hey, big apes are kind of funny. Let's make a really big ape.
I don't think he thought they're kind of funny.
Well, they were interesting and
yeah,
scary.
I think it was more like they're scary. Like, I'm going to make a...
Yeah, but like funny in like a thrill-seeking way. Like, ooh, wouldn't this titillate the audience?
Yeah, well, and that was also like during the time when... people thought like the world was very mysterious.
Yeah.
A lot of
now we have it all figured out and it stinks.
Yeah. A lot of
like, everything to know and it sucks.
A lot of uncharted territories and stuff where it's like, we don't know if dinosaurs could still be out there and we just haven't run into them yet.
Yeah. I mean, none of us have even explored this Skull Island on
yeah.
the map. Well, what
or,
if we made
maybe
a movie
it's not
where
even
we...
on the map yet.
Yeah. So yeah, all right. Do you still want to talk about our theater experience, Tom?
Yeah, I'm trying to think the order we should go. I was going to say, when I was talking about old people there, that the majority of the audience was teenagers on a field trip.
Yeah, or like tweens on a field trip as well.
No, I think
there
those
were some 11 and 12 year olds.
No, I think those are teenagers, and they just look younger than you would even ever imagine.
You know, I defer to you, who knows exactly what a teenager looks like.
No, because like you know how
I know that you know what I'm usually scared of teens.
Yeah,
teens I think of as bullies, right. And these kids, like, there was a big discussion. In the bathroom between a lot of the what you call teens, at intermission they were just like, "So, is the show over?"
Yeah,
and then somebody was also like, "No, I think this is an intermission." It's like the act one, the first act ended on a cliffhanger, and these kids thought everybody was hanging around at the
just
theater.
Shown King Kong.
Yeah. And,
for the first time.
Yeah, I mean, he did appear earlier than I expected, but which was a good thing, because God damn it. If I had waited a second longer for that big puppet, that big cool puppet to come on stage, I would have just walked out.
I'll have to take your word for what the teens were talking. I didn't loiter around the bathroom.
Yeah, well, I wash my hands after I urinate. You say, like, hey, I didn't piss on my hands. Why am I going to wash my hands?
Well, in fairness, you only wash your hands because you said you often piss on them by accident.
Yeah, accidentally, Tom, but I take care of it. I wash it. I use soap even. But these kids were arguing, like, you think the play's over? It ended like that, and also friggin' we're all just hanging out here.
Like, yeah, probably because like teens don't have, where are they gonna go do?
Yeah, I guess whenever teens are done with something, they loiter around for a while before going off to the next destination.
Like, when I was a teenager, I can't think of a time like I was ever in a hurry to leave somewhere.
No, because what was there to do? To go home and then you had to like do chores or go to bed or something.
Yeah.
I had a good home life.
All right. Well.
I enjoyed being in my home, but it's just like, you know, you hang out with your friends. Because like you're not allowed to be like, hey, we just saw a movie. You want to go grab a drink somewhere? Like,
right.
Yeah, you're meant to like tell people where you are, account for this.
Right. Well, and especially like teens nowadays, like they're on their dang cell phones so much, just like everybody.
Yeah.
Man, I've been so mad at old people being on their cell phones all the time lately.
Old people are
worse
than...
And they're so judgmental about like, this generation. It's like, you're on your cell phone constantly, old man.
Yeah. Get off your goddamn phone, you old kook.
I was at a thing recently where there was like a break, and this dumb old crone next to me was like, everybody's on their phones. And I want to be like, oh, I'm sorry. Let me freaking talk to you, some strange old lady. Like, relax. Get a phone.
Did you say that to her?
No, of course not. But I was just like, that's very rude. And like, I've had that happen. You know, I've seen that where, you know, people on the subway will be like, huh, look at everybody on their phone. Should we all just stare at each other, strike up conversation? Like, come on, get a life.
Tom, I have to disagree with you on that. You could read a book.
But I've made the argument, which also infuriates me, what you just said, because often when I'm on the subway, I'm reading a book on my phone. Like, I'm in the Kindle app reading a book.
Tom, let me tell you something. Anybody who reads a book on their phone is a sociopath or just a crazy person. You get like 16 words a page on that thing.
I've got a big phone now.
Big boy phone.
And big boy phone for a big boy.
But like it is a marked difference, Tom, from a pleasant society. Mm-hmm. It's like a dystopian future. Like, if you had thought even like in 2006 that you'd walk onto a subway train and everybody would be like staring like zombies at little screens in their hands.
That it's weird. Like, it definitely.
It's weird and it's probably bad.
Oh,
I know that
it's definitely bad.
Yeah.
It is weird, but at the same time, like, I just get mad when people are like, we should all put our phones away and talk to each other. Cause shut up.
We also probably should do that.
We should, but
look,
like,
I'm not ever going to do that. Even if I put my phone away, like, I'm going to stare into space and everybody leave me alone. But like,
God, you ever go on the subway and forget your headphones and just consider like not going where you're supposed to go?
Yeah. it's happened to me. I've actually like left headphones at home. I'd be like, well, looks like I'll have to buy a $70 pair of headphones on my way home.
Oh, yeah, you did that recently.
Yeah, I did. It worked out well.
Yeah.
Beats. Beats by Dre, Tom.
And where can people find those? It's a new brand I haven't heard
about. Yeah, the Apple Store.
And can I only listen to rap and hip-hop music on that?
Yes.
Okay.
Yeah.
Well, not interested then, Tim.
Well, you were always saying they ought to call it crap.
Yeah. I'm one of those people that likes all music.
And
except
slip slop.
Except rap and country. I hate it.
Yeah, I listen to everything except rap and country.
Except for the maybe two biggest genres of music right now.
You heard modern country, Tom? It might as well be rap.
What does that mean?
It's just, you know, modern country songs are wild. Like modern pop country are just like, I'm going down to the burp. But it's like the worst music you've ever heard, Tom.
Yeah, I mean, occasionally when I've heard, I mean, that's a, like any.
These boots don't run.
But for the most part, like any pop version
don't
of a genre.
Don't kneel at the football game, you. And then they bleep out the next word.
Any like pop version of a genre, more or less. Like pop punk sucked.
The pop
country stinks.
Yeah,
pop,
but
is there
loved,
like pop rap?
Rap rock was kind of
I guess like rap rock
pop,
was trying
like,
to make
like friggin' like most. Like Vanilla Ice and MC Hammer.
Yeah,
were like,
pop. They were pop rap.
And then like LMFAO were kind of like a rap group. I don't know. Yeah. They were more like dancey, right? I don't know. I don't know about music, Tom.
Too old.
Too old. Tom, King Kong.
King Kong.
King Kong. The musical on Broadway.
We've skipped a few things, we've realized. During we used to go a 4-hour break.
We went and saw the musical again.
Yeah.
It was great this time. This time I really enjoyed
so
it.
Much, they've retooled it since last week.
Okay. So this is it's a Broadway show based on the movie. Mm-hmm. We all know it. We all know the story. They go to Skull Island.
Yeah.
They capture the beast.
Mm-hmm.
Using a woman as bait,
mm-hmm.
like bring him to New York City to appear on stage. He gets loose
to appear on Broadway.
Yeah, he gets loose and climbs to the top of a building,
Empire State Building.
Yeah,
any building.
It was a little unclear in the Broadway version. We'll get to that.
You have to pay for the rights.
I learned that
from the Spider-Man game. Because like there are buildings missing in that, and the developers were like, oh yeah, it was too expensive to license that building's likeness. So
Which is crazy. I think if something's out in the world.
Yeah, I think the Empire State Building's not in that building for that reason.
Not in the video game.
In the video game. Avengers Tower is. Huh. But that's a fictional building.
Is it?
Not in this universe.
I
mean, yes, in this universe, but not in the video game universe.
Right. That's what I was asking. I usually ask most questions assuming we're talking about the Avengers universe.
Right. Is this canon? You always ask if this podcast is canon to the Avengers movies.
They shoot him with guns from aeroplanes. He falls to his death.
Yeah.
That's the story.
Scene.
We know it. This added so much context, character development.
What I think we skipped over is the big draw, the big gimmick of this Broadway show.
How dare you call it a gimmick?
Which is King Kong himself.
Kong.
A giant puppet.
Right.
Like a war horse.
Yeah.
All right. That's probably like the closest theatrical.
Yeah. I mean, it was big, Tom. To be honest, it wasn't as big as I was expecting.
You know what? He was a little bigger than I was expecting. So this puppet is, to call it a puppet, boy, this ain't your grandpa's puppet. And if your grandpa went to the show thinking finally after 85 years he'd be able to see King Kong, he'd be surprised because not his type of puppet.
No. He'd be like, I'm used to a sock with a couple buttons right. sewed onto it.
Maybe Howdy Doody.
Yeah. No, Howdy Doody freaked out my grandpa.
It's too real. That boy's too small. King Kong, the puppet.
Pulling all these pranks on that man in the cowboy hat.
King Kong.
Was Howdy Doody a little stinker? He must have been. Look at him.
Yeah. I don't think he was as much of a stinker as you would think.
Yeah.
He was no Billy Baloney, if that's your. If
Billy Baloney.
Billy Baloney was from Pee-wee's Playhouse.
Oh, he like smoked. He was cool.
He was pretty cool. I had a Billy Baloney ventriloquist dummy when I was a kid. It was by far my favorite. I brought that one time. This is probably actually like the beginning of me realizing trying to be funny for attention is all right. We had like a talent show or something, and I don't think it was even a talent show. I think it was just show and tell. And I brought this Billy Baloney ventriloquist dummy. And I just roasted everybody with it.
Nice.
And like, boy, it brought down
and
the
back
house.
Back then, you were probably allowed to say some cool stuff.
Yeah, it was very a lot of stuff that would not
fly
today. The
PC police would come in and shut down the second grade show and tell.
Yeah, that's why a lot of comedians can't play second grade schools anymore.
Yeah,
it's PC culture. But yeah, I would do that. They like, and looking back, I was like, oh, the teacher was probably, you know, well, I don't know what they would do in those days. I guess she couldn't go on her phone. Maybe she could call like a 976 number, a sex line or something.
Yeah, but they'd trace that back.
To the school?
Yeah, she wouldn't be able to call from a cell phone. She'd have to call from the phone on the wall.
But I think it would probably be like, oh, it could have been anybody.
Yeah, but we knew who the perv teachers were, right?
But at the time, like looking back, like I was given like a standing
ovation.
No, like a standing date to like.
Oh, really?
Do this like.
You had a residency.
Yeah, I had a residency of just bringing my.
Bring in Billy Baloney and fuck up all these kids.
Yeah, really let loose, really give it to them. Yeah. And yeah, I guess like I don't know. She probably like went outside to smoke a cigarette or something while that was happening.
Oh, she left the classroom.
I don't think so, but I'm just saying, like, because I'm thinking, like, why'd she let me do that? Like, not even let me, like, invite me to do that. Mm-hmm. It was probably like, oh, God, it's a moment of relief that I don't have to entertain these little monsters for a minute.
You think that's what the teacher's supposed to do, entertain children?
The good ones do, yeah.
Pee-wee's Playhouse had the best toys, had the best merchandise.
Yeah, they really
did. If you
did.
Look at it now, like if you go into like those like stores that you don't know how they stay in business in Williamsburg where they just sell like old toys and stuff. Yeah. All the Pee-wee's Playhouse stuff is like super expensive, but it's because it's like phenomenal toy. It's like the toys that used to come out in the 50s for kids. Great, great stuff.
Oh yeah, I mean this Billy Baloney ventriloquist dummy, like I don't think it was expensive, but yeah, it was so high quality. Like he had a little suit he wore, and it was like a real suit. Like it was like a real jacket and everything, like a real tie. Like it was all fabric. It looked like the Billy Baloney on the TV.
Yeah,
like
that's all you want as a kid.
Oh yeah, that's all you want to look like the thing on the TV. Yeah. Looks. I remember when I was a kid, I got a Fraggle that was like approximately the right size of a Fraggle.
Yeah.
And it was like, oh, this is all I've ever wanted. I just want to pretend like this is a real Fraggle.
Yeah.
And
kiss it.
Kiss it. And
Moki, were you necking with Moki?
No, Moki which one was Moki?
I don't know. I think I had red. Like big sweaters.
Yeah. Oh, yeah, that's Moki.
Yeah.
I think I had red.
So they had this big puppet on the stage.
Nine puppeteers.
It was a phenomenal puppet.
Nine puppeteers, and then it looked like four additional animatronic puppeteers, like in a booth.
Yeah, we saw them all go into the booth. in the beginning. Did you not see that?
Oh, I didn't notice that. Oh, thanks for nothing.
I thought you were paying attention. You were probably on your phone.
No, I wasn't on my phone.
You had your phone, I don't know. Tom, this puppet was great.
Yeah.
Did you share in my, here's my assessment of the show.
Mm-hmm.
Is they sold, we got $50 tickets, $49 tickets, right?
$49
And they were,
each.
They were in the balcony.
Yeah.
It's fine. There were a lot of kids around. There were a lot of empty seats.
They were, like bad seats in a theater that doesn't really have bad seats.
Yeah. 2.5 hour show, approximately,
yeah.
Right?
Mm-hmm.
A lot of songs, and I don't want to talk crap because, like, here's the thing. Like, they put something together and they put it up, and people are singing and dancing.
More than we can say about our musical.
Tom, we'll get there one day. But yeah, that is more than we can say about our musical. So, like, look, I didn't much care. I feel like this would have been better served. The draw was the puppet.
Right.
And it seemed to be... a draw for tourists, right?
Yeah,
like,
yeah.
There's a New York City musical that will reference New York City. It kind of looks like a theme park attraction.
We'll get into that.
A big screen in the back instead of, like, actual, what are they called?
A set?
Yeah.
Set dressing?
Yeah. But don't you think it would have been better served instead of having, like, you know, the tickets in the orchestra were, like, you know, probably hundreds of dollars or whatever. Mm-hmm. They do one, maybe two shows a day. Two shows on Wednesday, Saturday, Sunday, right?
Mm-hmm.
Don't you think they should do 5 20-minute shows?
Of just the puppet.
Just the puppet and, like, a couple of people, like, pretend that it was, like, the like... hey, step right up and see the thing, right?
Wow,
and people come in, and, like, you don't have to hire a full orchestra.
Yeah.
You don't have to have 30 cast members and all this. You just have, like, the puppeteers and crew. You charge, you know, $30 for a half-hour show, you know, whatever, and, like, it builds up to it. And then you get people in and out all day, right? Because it was pretty much you're there to see that puppet. That amazing puppet, right? Not to take anything away from the actors in the show. I just felt like a lot of people were just kind of like, where's the puppet the whole time? And through no fault of the other people, but when there's a puppet on the premises, you're just like, well, show me that thing.
So yeah, 9 puppeteers, and like, so they're all like wearing like black. So they kind of blend in, like
leather pants, Tom.
Leather pants, hoods. So like they're not, you know, they're not trying to be like invisible, but they're trying not to be distracting looking. Although like there were a few, actually, I thought there were kind of cool moments where like the puppeteers would kind of like act for a moment. Did you notice that? Like there was
one of them held up a skull and gave a. Soliloquy?
No.
Soliloquy. Jeez. My mouth's not working today, Tom.
No, there was like one moment where I think it was like King Kong was like trying to get Ann Darrow to go with him. And like he motions, but then like all the puppeteers like stepped out and like all put their hands towards her.
Oh, I didn't notice
that. Oh, that was like, I thought like one of the coolest moments of the thing. Or I was like, oh, they're real. But anyway, yeah, giant puppet. It had like metal bars on the back so people could climb up it. And occasionally, like a puppeteer would climb up there and you'd be like, what's going on? They're climbing up on top of the puppet. I don't know. Is that safe? And then they'd like latch on a handle.
Cable. Yeah.
A handle onto one of the cables. And then they'd be like, Geronimo, jump off the puppet. Pull the thing down and that would make King Kong's arm go up.
Yeah.
It was a lot of effort to make his arm go up.
It was fascinating.
All on like pulleys and stuff. At one point, like he comes forward in the stage. So like 2 lines came down and 2 people like latched them on so it could pull him.
A lot of latching of cables.
And you know what? I like it.
Me too. I'm pro-latching.
One of my biggest problems with Broadway musicals, not enough. Let me see those cables being latched.
Latch a little bit. Come on. I'm paying good money to see some good latching.
Well, and one of the biggest problems with Spider-Man, Turn Off the Dark, occasionally they forget to latch a cable or two.
Yeah.
And it would end in tragedy.
Exactly. Number one, we don't get to see that sweet latching. Number right. two, some guy falls and breaks
falls
his neck.
30 feet down to concrete.
Yeah.
So yeah, that was, the puppet was very neat. It was very cool to watch. One of the guys doing the animatronics was also doing the voice, which was, which made sense. Cause before I found that out, I was like, they're doing like a really good job, matching all this up.
Right.
Like they must've rehearsed the hell out of this to get to that point.
But I'm sure they did rehearse quite a bit, Tom.
Well, I was saying to you, if you look it up online, the like reveal of the King Kong puppet was 5 years ago. And they, you know, I guess it was at like some Broadway convention or whatever. And they were like, here's like the
Broadway Con,
the big thing we've been working on that everybody knows about, but nobody's seen yet. And like, it was identical to one of the scenes where it's like Ann Darrow singing to King Kong. And the puppet looked like, looking at it, I didn't notice any big changes that they made in that time. Right. So, yeah, for 5 years.
You think they made that puppet and they're like, all right, now to write all the songs.
Well, it seemed like, and yeah, I don't want to be mean here, but it seemed like it didn't occur to anyone until a couple of weeks ago that they should write some songs for this thing. And they were like, well, there's not enough time to write songs. Let's just see what's on like some royalty-free Broadway site. These were songs that all sounded like Broadway songs, but they did not have any like catchiness to them. Nothing memorable about them. They
Tom,
were just like very
generic.
Do you
mean to tell me that Dance My Way to the Light didn't make a, all right, ready?
Mm-hmm.
No, never mind.
What? Tim has a playbill in his hand.
I was going to, yeah, playbill. That's right. Wink, wink.
Did you write all the songs from King Kong on a Playboy centerfold? Is that what you're implying?
Queen of New York. Do any of these ring a bell? Building the boat, setting sail. I remember when they did build the boat
and then set sail.
Yeah. Cabin soliloquy. Oh, there was a soliloquy.
I remember Queen of New York. It was like, I'm going to be the Queen of New York. I'm going to be the Queen of New York.
Okay. So that's all you need.
Yeah. I don't think that was the melody, but that was the general gist of the song.
Right. So they go, yeah, I mean, look, it's a simple story, right?
Yeah.
And they did it simply.
It's a simple, simple story poorly told.
This show is sponsored by BetterHelp. Tom?
Yes.
What's your social battery like right now?
Beep.
Oh.
Boop.
Yeah, that's what it sounds like.
Uh-huh.
Tom, I'll tell you from my perspective, since you're avoiding the question.
Uh-huh.
My social battery feels a little drained right now.
That was what that second sound was.
But
I had to do the going up. To show you the going down.
You gotta go up to get down.
That's what my first single's about.
It's weird. I feel kind of drained socially, even though you can attest I don't do much socially.
Yeah, and you enjoy social things, but
I do,
but
and
it drains you.
Yeah, I don't know. It can be very easy to ignore our social battery, which is kind of what I'm doing right now, and spread ourselves thin. Or just not know, kind of like, you know, where the optimal socialization is for
you.
You
want to be a shut-in, but you can't be a party animal.
Yeah. What's the right amount of socializing for you? And how do you recharge? Mm-hmm. Maybe you thrive around people, or maybe you need some more time alone. I don't know. Maybe you need a little bit of both. Therapy can give you the self-awareness to build a social life that doesn't drain your battery. Tom, we are, as everybody knows, very pro-therapy on this podcast.
Yes.
Anybody can benefit from therapy. It's not just for people, you know, dealing with trauma.
Yeah, or going through tough times.
Yeah, it's helpful for learning positive coping skills and setting boundaries It empowers you to be the best version of yourself, Tom. If you're thinking of starting therapy, give BetterHelp a try. It's entirely online, like you, Tom. It's designed to be convenient, flexible, and suited to your schedule. And all you have to do is fill out a brief questionnaire, get matched with a licensed therapist, and you can switch therapists anytime for no additional charge. Find your social sweet spot with BetterHelp. Visit BetterHelp.com/complete guide today and get 10% off your first month. That's BetterHelp, HELP.com/complete guide.
This HeadGum Podcast is brought to you by Aura Frames.
That is right.
From grandmothers to new mothers, aunts, even the friends of your life, every mom loves an Aura Frame.
Holy shit, even aunts?
Yes, especially aunts.
Oh, wow.
Because it was named the best digital photo frame by Wirecutter and selected as one of Oprah's favorite things. I mean, these Aura Frames are guaranteed to bring joy to moms of all ages.
I believe it.
You have an Aura Frame, don't you?
Yes, I actually more than believe it. I know it. I've got one for my mom, my mother-in-law, my grandmother-in-law.
And dare I say, your aunt?
And dare you say, my aunt and my aunt-in-law. Everyone's got one. Everyone loves them.
I mean, Mother's Day is right around the corner, and there's no better gift than a digital photo frame. You give them the frame. It's got preloaded pictures in there. And you know what? You can update it with an app. So every time you take a new picture of a sweet little person or place or thing in your life, it gets automatically sent to that frame.
Exactly.
And right now, Aura has a great deal for Mother's Day. Listeners can save on the perfect gift by visiting AuraFrames.com to get $30 off plus free shipping on their best-selling frame. Holy smokes.
Excellent deal.
Yeah, that's AuraFrames.com. You use the code HEADGUM at checkout to save.
HEADGUM. Nice.
Yes. HeadGum. It's easy to set up. It's loved by everybody, including Oprah, including your aunt.
Mm-hmm.
So do check them out. That's AuraFrames.com. Use code HeadGum at checkout to save.
Damn right.
And terms and conditions apply, of course.
Of course.
Thanks again to Aura.
So I don't want to I don't want to give everybody the wrong idea. I thought the actors in this musical I think they did well. I just didn't think
they did the best with what they had.
Yeah.
Which was not much.
And also, like, unfortunately, it's like, you know what? You ever watch, I think everybody's, I'm going to ask you, did you ever watch The Dark Knight, the movie? But, like,
what's that about?
It's a character from comic books. I think you might know him.
Spider-Man.
But there's the Joker's in it.
Mm-hmm.
Batman is the guy, Tom. And I don't like that movie, The Dark Knight, because it's like
too dark,
I think,
too scary.
4.5 hours long. How long is it?
I don't think it's actually like insanely long, but it's over 2 hours.
It's
probably.
Over 2.5 hours, actually.
No, 2.5?
Yeah.
Really?
I remember you and I had a conversation. It actually came up. I was searching for something and an old chat of ours came up from GChat, which is the craziest thing that like offhand conversations that we had in 2006 or 2007 are like archived and accidentally searchable when I'm searching for something.
Tim, I assumed all those conversations were off the record.
Well, I'm putting it on the record. And you and I were like amazed. Like you were like, did you hear this new friggin' Batman movie is going to be over 2.5 hours long?
Yeah.
And I was like, holy shit. And you were even like a little skeptical about it.
Yeah.
And that, now every movie's over 2.5 hours right. long. It's like, we need to go back to the good old days. Anyway, once they show the Joker in that movie.
Yeah.
Every other scene, you're just like,
where's
yeah,
the Joker?
Yeah, 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 but where's the Joker?
Yeah.
And I feel like that's the issue that the King Kong musical has. Once they show that puppet, you're just like, well, bring Kong back. I don't care about what these people are doing.
When King Kong's off the stage, all the other characters should be asking, where's King Kong?
Exactly. Well, and that was kind of the case.
When he wasn't on stage, like, they were talking about him.
Yeah.
Like, there was no other...
Yeah, they weren't developing those characters in any other way.
No. Like, there were no...
Is there a Bechdel test about King Kong where it's just, like, King Kong musical or a play where... there are two characters that are not a big ape, and when they're talking about something other than a big ape.
Yeah, I mean, that's the case in the musical in the beginning, which at first I thought we had accidentally gone to see Newsies instead of King Kong.
Because of all the singing newspaper boys? Yeah.
Well, and because I elbowed you and said, hey, what is this, Newsies? And I didn't get a good enough reaction. So then I elbowed Marika and said, hey, what is this, Newsies? And I didn't get a good enough reaction. I looked behind me. It was just a, you know, a 13-year-old boy. I was like, he's not even going to get it.
Yeah. And he's so a newsie himself.
I'll just wait for the next joke to make.
Musical terms. The puppet was really cool. There was a woman, Tom, mm-hmm. sitting next to me. Or like a couple sitting next to me.
Yeah.
I think the woman in this couple was under the impression that the events transpiring on stage were happening in real life, in real time, in front of her. And she spoke full voice.
I noticed that she was speaking full voice. Yeah. That she was not whispering a single word.
And she didn't stop. It was just a constant
stream of consciousness.
Yeah. I couldn't tell if that's actually what she thought. She was speaking Russian.
Was she?
Yeah.
Oh, yeah. That would explain why I didn't understand what she was saying.
Yeah. And her husband or date or whatever would occasionally indulge her with a response that was just like, right?
Yeah.
But like, mostly he was spending his time leaning halfway into my seat. Luckily, there were enough empty seats in the theater that we were able to significantly upgrade our seats at intermission. Probably all those teens who thought it was over left after hanging out in the bathroom for 25 minutes.
After seeing an hour of a musical and being like, oh, God, that was so long. Let's get out of here.
Yeah.
Let's go to the Cheesecake Factory, yeah. Skyler.
They're all called.
I will say that. I think, what did I say before was the best part of the musical? Oh, when all the puppeteers broke the fourth wall?
Yeah.
But the other best part, by far, and I kind of had a feeling going in. Well, I had two feelings going in. One was I knew there was a part where King Kong would fight a snake.
Mm-hmm.
And I was like, that's going to be cool. It actually wasn't that. The snake was too short, right?
Yeah, when the snake appeared on stage, you, without any irony, just went, yes!
Well, because, you know, true to form, just like a real snake, he slithered on there, and like a lot of people didn't even notice him at first.
He was glowing neon green.
Yeah, but like just his head kind of poked, and he was gigantic. He was King Kong proportioned. Yeah. Like, you know, it took maybe like five people to control
the
snake.
What the hell is going on Kong Island or Skull Island?
It's a crazy place.
Got so many big animals.
Yeah,
there.
That's the whole point of Skull Island. It's mayhem there 24/7.
Yeah.
I'd
like to know what else is there. Did you ever see the 2005? What's his face?
Peter Jackson.
King Kong.
No, we talked about this for a second. I don't think I've like. I think maybe I've seen. Like a piece of it on HBO once or twice.
It was pretty good. I saw it in like IMAX, or it was like partially in IMAX.
I seem
or
to
something.
Remember like people thinking it was like way too long, but other than that, good.
Yeah, it was an. You know what? Here's the thing: King Kong is like one of those things, like Lord of the Rings was for a long time. I think Peter Jackson got cocky, where like everybody's kind of in love with it in the industry.
Yeah,
but like, we're not all that interested in
no,
it outside.
The normal man, the street, is not demanding more King Kong content.
No, content.
Yes.
I don't know where I was going with that. Oh, they had some, like, it was very long. It was like over 2.5 hours long. I think it was like 148.
Oh, the Peter
minutes.
Jackson one?
Yeah.
No, it's like 3 hours. I think okay. It's literally 3 hours long. It's
yeah,
very
I saw
long.
It in the theater in Los Angeles, Tinseltown, pretty much. Although you want to see it in New York because that's where it's set. Mm-hmm. But anyway, I kept a safe distance from New York where there was a giant ape running around. And the Skull Island stuff.
Yeah.
He fights like 8 different large animal monsters on that island. It's
well,
pretty cool.
That movie came out last year called Skull Island.
Yeah. I watched the first 15 minutes of it. It mostly took place in like the halls of the Senate and like a lot of people talking to senators and stuff. And I was like, all right, John C. Reilly isn't even being funny. I don't think he was even in it at that point.
Yeah, no, I think he lives on Skull Island.
He lives there?
Yeah, no, I think he's
a
like...
A human lives on Skull Island?
I think his character, and again, I'm basing this on like seeing the trailer probably 2 years ago at this point. I think his character is like somebody who's been on Skull Island for like a long... Like he's gone native on Skull Island. He was like an explorer that got lost there or something. But that, you know, that Kong Skull Island is part of the like the new King Kong universe.
Yeah, he's going to fight Godzilla.
Yeah. Did you see that last Godzilla movie?
No, with Bryan Cranston.
Yeah.
But he's not in it for long.
Yeah, he dies. I mean, spoiler alert for a movie that came out years ago.
They just wanted him to use that. They wanted to use him in that trailer.
Yeah. He gets killed off like pretty early on. That was a pretty cool movie. It had cool moments.
Hey, like, that's all I want. Hey, what's a movie? Hey, what is life? But a bunch of moments strung together, right?
None of it was like necessarily bad, but there were a decent amount of parts that like kind of dragged. But now they've got the new Godzilla movie coming out soon. I think maybe next year. And then 2020, I think they're filming it now. King Kong vs. Godzilla. You heard it here first.
Yeah.
Hollywood update.
Tom, at this musical,
mm-hmm.
King Kong the Musical on Broadway,
yeah,
they sold these Kong premium seats. Do you know about this?
No.
Sit in one of the first three rows of the orchestra, so close to the king that he could almost reach out and grab you. $400.
$400?
But, Tom.
Is that why he like steps out?
At the end, Act Two is going along at a pretty good clip.
Yeah.
There's actually some good stuff in Act Two when they're rehearsing the Broadway play within a play.
Yeah, that was
it's
the
actually
best part.
Pretty funny. And then
they're doing like a almost like a Michel Gondry-esque like, you know, low budget version of what you've seen so far.
Yeah.
Like a school musical version. And I was like, this is great. I would watch this. Like, this with the big gorilla.
That's what should have been the 20-minute experience, right? And then and the other good part, and if anybody's going to see it, like...
I still haven't said what was actually the good part.
Oh, wait, what was the good part?
No, I'll wait. You say this.
There was a part that was actually entertaining, but, like, they didn't go far enough. It was the actual show... when they were mounting the show and you were supposed to be watching the Broadway show that was showing him off as a spectacle and they had dancing girls come out, but he broke free of his chains, so they had to close the curtain and then they had dancing girls in front of the... Yeah. And you hear all this mayhem of King Kong like killing people and escaping in the background. And these four kind of showgirls just trying to keep it together in front of just a red curtain, right?
Yeah, I think the guy, Carl, he like sends them out. He's like, go dance. Like, you hear him like, go
I
distract them.
I feel like they could have played that up for way more laughs than they actually did. At one point, one of the girls like tries to like leave the stage and gets pulled under the curtain and presumably killed by King Kong.
Eaten.
Which was pretty funny. But like I feel like they could have done a whole musical number with like just mayhem going around on in the background and they kinda everything kinda felt half assed, like people who like weren't in show business made this musical. Did that
yeah.
Like to that point, before the show started, like there was an announcement, like no photographs, and then they're just like, "Put your phone away, or he might get you."
Yeah, it's like that's not like King Kong's not like a guy that gets
people.
Yeah,
and if you wanted to like the,
he's not like Dracula. He's not gonna sneak up behind you.
Yeah, there's a better funny line to be, but they just didn't like spend time on any of that. I feel like they got the puppet and they were like, all right.
Yeah, a lot of the musicals seemed like they didn't run it by anybody first to get like, hey, is this like a, does this
entertaining?
Like, does this joke work? Is this scary? Remember, yeah, there was one point where he's like, he says, Anne Darrow, like, she flies. Yeah, the pretty sparrow flies straight as an arrow, is hungry, because then she's like, he buys her food and she's supposed to be poor. So she's like shoveling in her mouth. And he's like, hungry as a wheelbarrow. And I got so mad. I turned to you and Marika. I was like, that's not a joke. Like, that doesn't make any sense. Just because it's delivered like
a joke. It was delivered as a joke. It's a joke.
It doesn't mean it's a joke. A wheelbarrow isn't hungry. It can hold things, but it has no desire to hold things.
Yeah. Anyway, the one good part of the...
was the part you just described that you said was not good.
Oh.
I like that part mostly just because they were playing... sounds of the audience screaming from behind the audience, and I kept looking, so I was like, is this real?
You're one of those people that at a 3D movie you're reaching up and trying to grab the 100%.
Yeah. No, I mean,
it would be cool if they just had like audience plants.
Oh, that'd be amazing.
Nuts. And there was enough room for that.
they could have put the entire cast in the audience.
Or if it's a matter of we can't find people, go out into Times Square, grab a few people. They'll be screaming anyway.
Yeah, put them in newsy hats and send them in the audience.
Yeah. Sorry I described that whole thing that you were going to describe.
No, because you're right. Like, it could have been done way better. But, like, I did like how and again, they could have done a better job doing this, because at one point, like, it does shift where it's basically like, okay, now you're no longer watching a musical, you are in the audience for Kong being revealed. And right. I feel like they could have done a better job kind of hammering home that transition, because that was a cool experience. It was a cool experience. It could have been a lot cooler.
Yeah.
And I felt like when they were playing the screams, at first I was like, are these fucking tourists? Or do they think this is real? Are they screaming? I'm looking over there. I'm like, nah, there's not enough people over there for all this noise to be coming from. But then I was like, oh, this is neat. Like, yeah, this whole thing should be like an immersive theater experience. Like this play should start with... this musical should start with like how this would happen.
Yeah.
How this guy Carl would present King Kong on Broadway.
Yeah. Exactly. And that could be a half hour, because it ends with him getting loose and all hell breaking loose.
Make it like a Sleep No More. Have it be immersive and just have it be like, hey, you're here, hey, King. And, you know, as you're going to your seats, have the freaking ushers in 1930 like, ah, you're here to see King Kong, eh? Well, yeah, he's going to really show it to you, isn't he, boy?
Puppet didn't have genitals. I know you were upset about that.
He didn't have a butthole either, from what I could tell.
You know what? I was happy about both of those.
Now, I mean, his genitals and like general butt. I mean, he didn't have his ass to the stage very often, but they were like shrouded in shadows. So it was like
So he gets loose.
Yeah.
Right. And then he's running around. The biggest applaud. People didn't applaud after the big show-stopping songs.
Explain, before you get into that, the background of all the entire show.
What do you mean?
The background of the set.
Oh, it's instead of I'm trying to think of the word.
Set dressing.
No, because there was set dressing, Tom.
Yeah, that's true.
There was just a big screen.
Instead of a like a backdrop?
Yeah.
Stands? Is that what you're thinking of?
No.
I think you're thinking of a backdrop.
No.
What are you thinking of then?
I don't know, Tom. I'm trying to think of it. Anyway, the whole back of the stage was a huge screen.
Instead of like a matte painting or something another thing would have had.
Yeah. So
this was like a wraparound IMAX screen.
Yeah.
Around the stage.
So when they were outside, it was like a digital projection of the Brooklyn Bridge that you can see in the background.
Yeah, but it was all like PlayStation 2 graphics. It was like
It made it feel like a cheap tourist attraction.
Yeah, like they were kind of, like it looked like PlayStation 2 because they were trying to do like a stylistic type look, but it didn't go, it wasn't stylized enough to sell that. So it just kind of looked like, oh, this is just, you haven't put all the details into this.
Yeah, it would have worked. It worked really well because there were several scenes, and this was the only thing that got applause breaks, not any of the songs or anything.
No.
Is when
it got King, wild applause.
King Kong would run.
Yeah.
Like either in the jungle or through the streets of the city, mm-hmm. and it's the puppet. Just they move the arms and legs as if it's running, and then
Important thing about
the screen has things going by in the background.
Yeah, the screen all of a sudden turns into like a Temple Run background.
Yeah, and it was cool. It looked cool. What they should have done is used that screen sparingly,
right.
and then had sets come down on the flybars in front of it for the other stuff.
Right. Yeah,
because you sparingly, that would have been phenomenal. We should be Broadway producers.
We really should be. We kind of. It seems like we know everything. Another thing I would have changed is when those. I mean, it seems very obvious that like during not even because this wasn't in previews very long, but probably during like an investor showing of this, that somebody was like, "That part, that's great." So they wrote in like two more times where Kong would have to be running.
And every time it looked like he was running in slow motion because it was a big puppet that like...
Yeah, I was going to say an important thing about this puppet you have to understand is this puppet was really neat, really lifelike, really realistic. It was slow to move, this puppet, because it's gigantic.
Yeah.
And it was genuinely all people powered. So it was like, this thing can only turn as quickly as 9 people can like turn a, you know, I don't know how
a
heavy this thing was,
thing.
But a big heavy thing.
Yeah.
Like this thing can't whip itself around and it can't move all of its limbs at like a real running pace. It's going to look like slow motion.
And it was cool.
You're also skipping the part that when those parts would happen, dubstep would play.
Yeah. That was weird.
Yeah. Whenever King Kong would run, it'd be like,
and then everyone was like, yeah! But then a woman would sing her heart out for 5 minutes very impressively, and people are just like,
yeah.
Yes. Will the puppet be back?
Yeah, but there were standing ovations for the drop during King Kong's running scenes. And it seemed very. I said like, oh, it seemed like during investor meetings they had those, but like the investors were right
because
those by far got the biggest reactions.
Us rubes were eating that up with a spoon. I mentioned those Kong seats before the Kong premium seats.
They were probably like, the snobs aren't going to like this music anyway.
Snobs are going to leave here pissed off either way.
Yeah.
But the Kong seats that are $400 in the first couple of rows and that you get, they definitely just play. Like, after he escapes from the theater, he's running through the streets of New York to dubstep. And then there's just a 5-minute break where King Kong...
Like everything blacks out behind him.
Yeah. And he just walks up because he's generally in the middle to the back of the stage.
Right.
Because, you know, there's action happening in front of him.
Yeah.
You
can't have the actors behind him. They wouldn't be able to see him.
Yeah. They black everything out. Everything stops. They walk him out to the front of the stage.
Well, Tim, you're skipping. They latch.
Oh, there's so much latching. Oh, man, I was eating it all up from the balcony.
Yeah, latch him.
But then they just, you know, it's a little less impressive because it felt like they turned on all the house lights or something.
Yeah, and he just kind of goes to the front of the stage. It's like,
But they have his hands go out over the first couple rows.
Yeah.
And it's like...
doesn't touch them though.
No,
like he comes pretty close, but not close
enough. But it's to give those Kong premium seat buyers their money's worth. It's like I just wanted a thrill. The best part about it was we went on, was it a Thursday night?
Yeah, something like that.
We went on a weeknight. there was nobody in those premium seats. Nobody wanted to pay $400 for that.
No, and also,
so they were just
like,
doing that to empty seats, and that's got to be fucking demoralizing to those, those puppeteers.
And also, like, you know what? If you're gonna do like a money grab thing like that, yeah, be like, yeah, and stay after the show, and you know, fucking King Kong will come out and, you know, shake your hand or whatever.
That was definitely at the expense of character development like, you know, wrapping
5 minutes
or,
everybody else is gonna have to sit here and just kind of watch this happening and be like, this isn't interesting. Unless you guys are gonna pull out some more latchings.
I'd
we did get to see him get unlatched, which was pretty neat.
When he had that. To latchings and to a lesser extent the unlatchings, but it was all enjoyable.
Well, I was fascinated watching the cables that they latched to him to bring him up when they put him back, them get sucked back up to the ceiling, because they did it very slowly, because I was like, oh, if they like rip those latchings, they're going to go swinging like crazy.
Yeah.
But they knew. They knew.
They waited for him to die down a little.
When we're Broadway producers, that's one thing we're not going to have to correct about all this stuff. We're going to be like, the latchings... great. You guys know the speed to bring them up and take them down. That part's fine. You guys, your job is safe. Everybody else is fired.
What do you think the odds are? Somebody's listening to this with the power to be like, hey, you know what? These guys got great ideas. Let's install them. They'll save the show. Because, Tom, I'm shocked that we have not heard. We saw this a little less than a week ago.
Yeah.
I'm shocked that we have not heard that King Kong's final performance is November 28th.
Yeah, so I mean, the reason why I was excited to go to this was because this had Spider-Man Turn Off the Dark written all over it.
Yeah, which we did go to and was also boring and not that great.
Yeah, but it was...
And we didn't remember even one of the songs.
No, and you know what? I haven't been to... The vast majority of Broadway shows I've been to in the past like 5 years have been like, oh, this is so bad, you got to see it. Or like, this is about to get yanked unceremoniously off Broadway. And I'm like, oh, I got to go see it then. But I have to see what's so bad about it.
Yeah. Yeah. I kind of regret not seeing the Rocky musical because of that.
Yeah.
I heard the fight scenes were pretty cool.
Well,
except
the
Winter
you'll never
Garden
know.
Theater. That's where Cats was.
Yeah.
That's all the time we have, Tom. Out of 5 stars, how many stars do you give King Kong?
5 stars.
Me too.
It's very good. Yeah, you know what else is good? The Skull Island Twisted Teas that we had beforehand.
Yeah. No, just a Skull Island iced tea. It's a play on the Long Island iced tea.
Oh, I get it.
Yeah. It was pretty, it was strong.
It was a bargain at $16. Yeah, I think it was strong mostly because they were like, you know, we got to meet like quotas of how much liquor we're going through. Like there was no line. There was no wait. There was quite a line after intermission. I think a bunch of people were like, yikes, I got to double fist to get through this one. I don't have, I do have more. I don't have anything else to really say about. Justice did some of the music, band. When are these shows going to realize, like,
Don't spend your money on that.
Don't get Justice or U2. Like, don't get a rock band, especially like both those bands are like well past their expiration date, like their popularity date.
I don't know anything about Justice.
Like a French.
The country act?
No, they're like electro rock kind of thing. Like,
electro.
But the
rock.
Thing was
that
like.
Sounds something that like an elderly person would say.
But the thing is, like, they never got super popular here, but, like, even the height of their popularity was easily 10, 15 years ago. So it's just like, why are you getting these? Like, why don't you get somebody with Broadway experience?
Get Lin-Manuel Miranda to do this.
Yeah, he's just sitting around waiting for a phone call.
Yeah, jeez.
No, it just seems like unnecessary. Like if you're like trying to incorporate rock to like make your musical more appealing, like then you gotta go back to the drawing board. You wanna
tell that to Andrew Lloyd Webber, Tom.
And Phantom.
He's got rock in all his musicals.
But he's doing it.
Starlight Express, answer me, yes.
But that's fine. I mean, and you joked about Lin-Manuel Miranda, but like he wasn't like, oh, let me get, you know, freaking like Jay-Z to write some lyrics.
Jay-Z
for this.
Did write most of the lyrics. he ghost wrote it.
If you can't, if you're writing the music for a thing and you feel like you have to bring in like a non-Broadway collaborator, it never works. Like, can you think of a time that's ever worked?
No, and I don't even notice them. Like, the U2 thing for the Spider-Man thing, like, that was a, like, oh, great. That'll be a great marketing hook. I was trying to figure out, like,
that would be a great marketing hook because nobody knows Spider-Man.
No, but
so
like
we need another.
No, but like you know what I mean.
Yeah.
Like it's another thing. Like, hey, Bono and the Edge wrote the music, so like it's best of both worlds here. Whatever. It turned out being really bad. I didn't know Justice was affiliated with this until I was looking in the Playbill magazine. And then,
I mean, I could be wrong. That could be something else. That could not be the band.
And then I was trying
to
Google it and like, it's not listed anywhere on the site. So I don't know what's going on.
I mean, that
on.
Could just be like a person that goes by the name Justice, but I know Justice is a rock band. So,
you know, the Justice League, that's for goddamn sure.
Yeah. Front to back.
Yeah.
If you like the show, you can find out more.
You prefer the back. Big Butt Superman.
Oh, Hashtag Big Butt Superman is my Superman. If you want to find out more about the show, you can go to tcgte.com. You can follow us on Facebook, facebook.com/completeguide.
Don't do that. Get off Facebook, everybody.
You can follow us on Twitter, @completeguide.
You should get off Facebook. Tell your aunt and uncles to get off Facebook.
That's where
too.
They get all their news, Tim.
I know. Tell them to stop.
Well, you don't want them to be informed? You can follow us on Twitter and Instagram @completeguide. You can follow me on Twitter and Instagram @TomReynolds.
Follow me or don't on those things. Your pal Tim.
Wow, what a cool guy. He doesn't even care if you follow
what
him.
What I'm saying is don't follow anybody. Get off all these things. It's poison.
You heard it here first. Don't fave any of Tim's things anymore.
Don't fave my things.
He doesn't
things.
Like it.
Yeah, I hate it. Don't look at any of it. Not even just my stuff. Tom's stuff. Marika's stuff.
You can look at my stuff. And you can support the show by supporting our sponsors. You can also check out tcgte.com/Amazon for your Amazon shopping, and tcgte.com/pledge for our Patreon, where you get bonus mini weekly episodes of things like Fast Food Friday, Riverdale Review, Justice League Minute, You Look Marvelous, and many, many more. I mean, not many, many more, maybe like one or two others.
Yeah.
I'm forgetting. So, yeah, that was King Kong on Broadway.
Yeah, it was fine.
I was expecting it to be a lot worse based on the reviews. I walked away just thinking, like, that was exceptionally mediocre.
Yeah, if the puppet wasn't so cool, I would have been very disappointed.
I guess maybe, yeah. Maybe that's a little bit of what it was.
Because, like, I enjoy a shit show as long as it's a shit show.
Yeah,
like nothing.
Spider-Man was a shit show. Spider-Man was like laughable in a lot of parts.
But it was also like not ridiculous enough. Like it wasn't bad enough.
Well,
right?
By the time we saw it, they had like pulled back because there had been so many injuries and like show-stopping
problems.
And
that's the thing. Like if the King Kong puppet wasn't that cool, it would have just kind of been like a bland musical that I don't know.
Yeah, it was just exceptionally bland. Like, and everybody in the show seemed to be doing like the best with what they had, and what they had was like inconsistent characters with no discernible character motivations or like character development or growth, except for King Kong.
Tom, can I tell you something?
Mm-hmm.
I'm not looking forward to calling a car to go home from your apartment.
Well,
tonight.
You're not staying here. Is that what you're angling for?
No. Last week, I called a car using Juno, and he came here, and I got in, and he's like, "Hey, I drove you from here to this destination last week."
Yeah.
And I was like, oh, and then like, I was like, oh yeah, you did. But this guy was so tickled by it that for 28 minutes for the entire drive, he just cracked joke after joke. It's like, hey, so what time should I pick you up next week? And I feel like this guy is like, has been like just hanging around this area, yeah, knowing, because he was so fascinated by the fact that he picked me up 2 weeks in a row. And he was like, he even knew my secret, like, gym. He got to like near my house. He's like, ah, this is where you jumped out last week. You went right in there, and he pointed to the Little Caesars. And I was like, yeah, I did go to Little Caesars.
These rides are supposed to be anonymous, pal.
It was humiliating, and it was really annoying. I was just trying to like read a book or something, or look at Twitter on the way home, and this guy was just...
Yeah, you were trying to look at... I was trying to read a book.
I was
trying to read a book or looking at Twitter. You know, I forget which one it was.
You know what book I was reading? A book about the TV show Friends. It was very compelling.
A novelization?
I wish. Oh, we should start writing novelizations.
Well, we don't have the rights to write novelizations.
We'll bootleg it, Tom. Nobody else is doing it.
Yeah, we can just change all the character names. That's what they did with Twilight and 50 Shades of Grey.
Yeah, it'll turn into a big old Friends.
All right, we'll see you next week.
That was a HeadGum Podcast.